Welcome to the introductory episode of What's New in NP Tech Projects. I'm your host, Jim O'Reilly, and I'm here with Birgit Pauli Hock. We both are among the founders of NP Tech Projects, and we work with small and mid-sized nonprofit leaders to increase their work's impact with better use of technology. Today, we'll tell you a little bit about NP Tech Projects. Birgit, how about introducing yourself?
Hi, everyone. My name is Birgit Pauli Hock, and I have been working on Weaving the Web since 1996. It opened the world to me, and my first major website was Shoah Project, a German website with a collection of texts around the Holocaust, the German resistance movement, and how my generation and the German society discussed its horrific history. It was one of the major sites in the space in Germany to introduce the information to early internet users. This started my transition to become a web developer. I learned how to program, how to manage servers, and work with all kinds of different databases. My main focus to this day is to give the content the best representation possible to serve its purpose. What is the experience for a visitor, a reader? In essence, how to think like a publisher and organize content for the site's audience. It's a constant changing field, which keeps me on my toes. In 1998, I moved to the US with my husband Christian, who now works for Oracle. As I wasn't allowed to earn any money for the first 4 years, I joined the Naples Freenet as a volunteer helping nonprofits and residents in Naples, Florida to conquer the internet. Fast forward to 2010, I started a WordPress education program and helped 40 nonprofits to migrate their site from a proprietary and frankly hideously outdated content management system to WordPress. It was quite the eye-opening experience. I will tell you more about it in our next episode when we discuss content management systems and what they can do for nonprofit organizations.
Let's stay with that topic for the moment.
Okay.
You, our listeners, should be thinking about how to tell your stories through data. Research has proven that when a reader sees a statement backed up by data, the engagement is much better. For example, instead of stating that we raised $3,000 to help our clients, you could say that we were able to provide 6,000 meals with the money raised in our last campaign. One of the advantages of the content management system is that it is ideal for telling your stories to specific audiences, your clients, your board, and your donors.
I would go a little bit further. Content management system is not only a storytelling tool, it is the foundation of all your online communication. With the need of a multi-channel communication strategy, your content management system becomes your command center, the communication hub for all online outreach activities. We will talk about this much more in detail with the next episode. Jim, why did you come on board as a leader for NP Tech Project?
Thanks, Birgit. I'm not a technologist. Rather, I am a user of technology and have been for quite a while. Years ago, I owned and operated a search firm specializing in high-tech placements. One of my candidates invited me to attend an Apple tech show in Boston and convinced me to purchase an Apple II Plus to help manage my candidate and job opening files. Frankly, it was a bad business decision because the personal computer technology of the time was not mature enough to actually be a tool of the business. Later in my career, that bad business decision helped me when the consulting firm I worked for provided all staff first with IBM PCs, complete with floppy disks, and a short time later networked newer versions within each office. By the late 90s, I was managing a global team to merge the consulting businesses of two major organizations. For one specific project, we needed to design a competency model that could be applied globally. Simply speaking, we wanted to be able to demonstrate to clients that a level 5 project manager in New Delhi would have the same basic competencies as a level 5 project manager from London. After some effort, we managed to agree that the team's day would begin in London, then to New York, and for the final 8 hours, Melbourne, Australia. Each workday, the geographic teams would define a competency that fit their geography and pass that on to the next team, who would review what they had received and pass on the review, as well as another competency to fit their geography. That was a real challenge.
Oh, I can imagine. I would like to know, however, more about the project management part of your competency model.
Okay. Project management was one of six competency tracks through which consultants could advance. Generally, consultants would begin their careers in strategy, process, or systems consulting. Later, they would begin to show competencies in project management and would proceed along multiple tracks. When we began to describe competencies in project management, we realized that what strategy consultants thought the key factors were, those factors were much different from what a systems consultant believed. Strategy consulting project managers believed that because they were affecting change at the organizational level of a company, that their work was more critical. Systems consultants believed that because of the number of consultants and therefore levels of organization necessary to implement an enterprise-wide system change, that their project management competencies were most critical. When we were able to get the top project managers from strategy and systems together around a table, they began to appreciate the other's point of view, and we were able to tie some things together. Not to oversimplify, but the issues came down to two words, criticality and complexity. If a project manager's client was a C-level executive or a board member, we would consider the project to require a very high-level project manager because it was critical to the client as well as to ourselves. On the other hand, if a project was global in scope and client stakeholders came from multiple geographies, then that project also required a very high-level project manager because of the complexity of applications, levels of staff on the project, multiple languages, etc. It was a great project to work on.
Well, thank you, Jim. I find our conversations around project management always very insightful, with a lot of deja vu. In the last 18 years, I managed quite a few technology projects with various levels of success. How do you see criticality and complexity and the tension between strategy and systems play out in the nonprofit field?
Well, times have changed. One of the great things about the 21st century is that systems developers have had to compete to be responsive to the needs of strategy. It has become common that the best-of-breed systems have had to become compatible with other systems in order to compete. Therefore, the organization leader can ask, how well does that upgrade work with the other systems we have now? And is there another solution that better fits our needs? As long as an organization does not buy into systems that they do not own or control, then they are in charge of their own destiny.
Oh, what a great topic project management for nonprofit is, which we will explore in later episodes. Now let's get back to you, Jim. How did you get here?
With tongue firmly in cheek, I drove. After my first attempt at retirement, I moved to Florida and was doing some organizational consulting. Then I got interested in a project to create an online education program for gifted and talented students. It was while I was the executive director there that I met Birgit, who first built and launched our website and then coached me through the process of learning how to populate and operate our site. We had several interesting projects, and it was challenging and fun. When it became obvious that we would not be able to raise sufficient funds to continue, that project ended. But we learned a few lessons about remote learning and producing an online learning environment. After researching the LMS, Learning Management Systems, space, we selected the open source package Moodle. Our first project was to create a math club, and we chose probability as the type of math we would teach. And as an aside, we chose probability theory because the middle schoolers who were our students in the test had no exposure to probability at that point. Our pre- and post-testing demonstrated that we were quite successful in improving the math comprehension. But our team felt that we did not have the correct recipe to excite the students with the experience. We did much better with our next project, which was an online debate club. We used a live video classroom environment to bridge the gap between teacher and students. The live class was well received, but it also required additional efforts, like two adults to manage the environment, one presenter interacting with the students, and one producer who would handle technical problems, monitor the chat room for questions and comments, etc. In education jargon, we sacrificed asymmetric learning in math for group learning in debate.
Since then, a lot has changed. The LMS space became easier and less complex, and there are very affordable webinar tools available. But the principles still apply. It takes a lot more planning and production time to conduct a successful online learning experience than in the classroom. And we learned a lot more of what works and what doesn't work in education.
After we closed the school, Birgit and I continued to be friends, and I asked her what else I could do in the nonprofit community that might be of value. Eventually, we came up with the idea of NP Tech Projects. My part of the deal is to encourage senior staff within nonprofits to make better use of technology simply because it would allow them to do a better job for their own visions of success. We're working to connect with private foundations, encouraging them to support their charities by funding their participation in our various offerings. So, Birgit, how about describing what we do at NP Tech Projects?
I'd be happy to. At NP Tech Projects, a group of people came together who have actively implemented technology solutions for the last 20 years in all kinds of different environments. Nonprofit organizations, locally and nationally, we think, need more than just tools, software, and hardware to be successful in implementing technology solutions in their daily work. Experience taught us that for any technology implementation, no matter how small or large, a holistic approach is necessary to make the implementation a success and deal with the hiccups and the roadblocks. You can't just inoculate an organization with the next shiny technology and miraculously everything goes well. In one of our blog posts, I talk about the journey of introducing change into an organization. You'll find the link in the show notes. The holistic approach includes the triangle of technology, processes, and people. The technology will influence how your processes change, but your organization's processes will also influence the technology you need. The skill and mindsets of your staff will determine which technology would be the right one, but technology will also require new skill set and a shift in the way an organization thinks about data.
Exactly. Small and mid-sized nonprofit organizations struggle with this for many reasons. There isn't a day in the operation of an organization that isn't touched by technology. From email, to picture taking, to online donations, cloud storage, communications with donors, outreach efforts, reports to responding officials, technology is everywhere. Any nonprofit leader finds herself in a tough spot to have to learn about technology management and make it a strategic part of her decision-making process. That's not an easy task, and it's hard to find the right partners and mentors. NP Tech Projects helps to bridge the gap between contractors, vendors, and what we fondly refer to as the accidental techie. Our expertise and experience in implementing technology for many, many years should help. It's never one size fits all. We want to help our organizations adopt the right technology at the right time. One of our key offerings is the WP for Good Club. Birgit, will you introduce us to the club?
Of course. We started the WP for Good Club as an online community for nonprofits using WordPress for their online communications hub and website. It's about the WordPress software, but even more so about how to use it, what plugins to get to best pursue your organization's mission. It's no coincidence that WordPress's goal is to democratize publishing. We share how you can connect your site to your social channels, how you make sure people get notifications about your website's updates, even if they don't stop by so often. We have training videos on how to use the image gallery, for example, on your WordPress site, or how to use the featured image to make even your Facebook sharing look great, and many more. Our library will fill up over the next few months, and if you sign up for our e-news, we will let you know when there is something new. WP for Good Club members also experience a Don't Worry hosting service that's included in the membership. The hosting service relieves the organization from worrying about spam as well as hacking. Maintenance and security is taken care of by us and our hosting partners. We also show club members how they can get control over their domain names without finding themselves stranded with no access to the domain name when their hosting company or web developer aren't around anymore. At PolySystems, we have spent hours wrangling old websites and domain names from registrars and hosting companies before we could help commercial companies to get their website up and running again. WP for Good Club helps a nonprofit organization to stay in control of their online destiny. We know successful technology projects require involvement of the leaders. Jim, tell us about our impact circles.
We're using as a model a concept that's quite common in the commercial world. Leaders from similar but non-competing organizations come together to share experiences and suggestions for improvement. For our impact circles, the objective expands to help executive directors become more comfortable with technology and managing the contractors, staff, and volunteers who make up the technology team. We encourage them to become strategic users of technology and to be better at leading their technology people by knowing the right questions and having some ideas about the processes necessary to migrate towards newer technologies. We plan to meet once a month for no more than 90 minutes, and we pack the agenda to ensure that we are providing value. In fact, these podcasts are partially designed to be a library for members to review topics already covered and to provide new members with some background information as they get started. Birgit, would you describe the workshops that you lead?
Well, our workshops are in-person workshops and cover specific technical topics that are of interest for the nonprofits in our area. For example, the first one was about email marketing and how to use MailChimp. The second workshop was about SEO, search engine optimization, and the use of the tools that come with WordPress or are available on WordPress. Whenever possible, we select software and tools that are low cost or free or open source and fit the needs of the participating member agencies. Well, that's all about MPTech projects. So, Jim, what are our plans for what's new in MPTech projects?
We've got 4 episodes on our calendar. And we start off with one in content management systems and what they do for your nonprofit. The second one is how to get started with your own organization's website or what you need to make sure you do right by your organization. The third will be search engine optimization. Once you create content, how can you make sure that your content gets found on Google and other search engines? And how to create pages in order for your content to be ranked reasonably well. The fourth will be measuring your successes via Google Analytics, how to measure your goals for your website, and specifically for your online campaigns. How do you track and attribute donor and supporter interaction? Between podcasts, we blog and create how-to videos of tips and tricks. We're always looking for topics and questions and would be happy to include your thoughts on the show. If you know someone we should interview, please let us know about him or her. If it's about using technology to help people, save people time, or help organizations connect with supporters and donors, we want to hear about it.
I'm very excited about the next episodes of this new podcast and look forward to the next one. How can you reach us? Go to our website, nptechprojects.org. We keep a schedule of our episodes. And please keep in touch by subscribing to our e-news. An announcement will arrive in your inbox. This is it for now. Until the next time, here on What's New in MPTech Projects, we are your hosts, Birgit Polly-Haag and
Jim O'Reilly. Goodbye.